Amen. Praise the Lord and thank you, and please be seated. All right. Well, good morning, wonderful church, saints of the Most High God. Praise the Lord that all of you are here. We want to welcome you on behalf of Pastor J.D. Farag here to Calvary Kaneohe. For those of you joining us online, we welcome you as well. And if we have any visitors here, we pray that you have already been bombarded with love. That's what we do here, is love on one another. And we're glad to have you and look forward to engaging with you. I do want to remind everyone about our next prayer meeting coming up on January the 6th at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. If you're able to come out and be a part of this corporate prayer, we would invite you to do so. We're looking forward to it. This will be our first prayer meeting of the new year. And so if you're able to come out, come on and join us. And if not, don't forget, we need to be praying regardless. Pray, pray, and then pray again. And when you think that you have prayed enough, pray some more. Amen. Right? Okay, so we won't be together before this happens. So I would like to say Happy New Year to come. Prayerfully, we'll all get to see it. And prayerfully, we'll all be safe through it. We know how Hawaii is. Right? I mean, I have to admit, you know what I'm saying? Hawaii is off the charts with the fireworks. It is absolute madness. I mean, when I first came and saw them, I was like, oh man, that's amazing. That's crazy. I mean, everybody just does this. Wow. Then I realized, wait a minute, this is not normal. You know what I'm saying? And it was just not the New Year's. I started this random. February 11th. It means absolutely nothing. So why are all these fireworks going on? But anyway, if that's you, be safe. We're going to look forward to everybody coming back with all their fingers. Okay, on Sundays we have two services. This is the first service. It's normally dedicated to the prophecy update, and the second one, the sermon. And we're going to be praying that Pastor J.D. returns. He'll get back to business as usual. Looking forward to that. But for today, I want to ask that you join me in the book of Psalms, chapter 111. We'll read from verses 1 through 5. I will also ask all who are able to stand to do so for the reading of the word of God, followed by a word of prayer. Book of Psalms, chapter 111. Beginning in verse 1, the Word of God reads, "Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." Verse 5. "He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant." Man, powerful words. Why don't we pray and ask the Lord for his blessing on our teaching this morning. Father in heaven, oh, we are so thankful that we can come together to hear your word, and that's what we're here to do. And we know that we cannot do anything without your presence. So we ask that you would meet us here as you're so faithful to do, afresh and new, with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. Take control of our assembly this morning, so that we can just relish in your word and your love and your mercy and grace. So give us the wisdom from above and the time that you have given to us that, as always, we freely give back. In the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen. Praise the Lord, and please be seated. All right. Well, this morning, the title of our teaching is Praising God's Past Works. And we're going to be using these verses as a backdrop for our learning, as well as for our encouragement. This is what it's all about all the time. Now, as we are about to head into the new year, reflecting on the past can be very helpful in preparing us as well as propelling us forward. But it can also be a major stumbling block if not approached in the right way. And we have talked about this before. But what we cannot miss is that this time of year is indeed one of the best times for us to be reminded of the most critical factor when it comes to any and all things related to the past. And that's making sure that we seek and come to recognize the works of God in and through it all. And as we think back, his past works should have our focus and receive our highest praise. Now, we can tie in his past works into our lives as well. Every aspect of our lives. And that means both the highs as well as the lows and everything in between. It does not matter the situation or circumstances. As believers in Christ, we need to seek his understanding for our lives that will indeed reveal his works in our lives. And we will see that our imperfections, all through our imperfections, his works are made perfect. Are we tracking, church? Now, our passage today speaks on a much broader scale, but with the Lord's permission, we're going to expound on the text from its historical standpoint as well as context, and we will also fold into it the church as a whole, as well as each and every one of us as individuals. And this will be done primarily by looking closely at what praising the Lord wholeheartedly looks like. This is going to be the long pole in the tent. So prepare your hearts. This is where we're going with it. And from there, towards the end of our teaching, we're going to take the liberty and study Adam as a part of God's past works in a way in order to challenge our biblical response regarding past roadblocks or failures in our lives that may be holding us back. All in the hopes to see how praising God and remembering those works by his mighty word should strengthen us in our walk as God's people today as well as into the future. Now, before we begin, notice that I will not be doing an overview of the psalm or the amazing Hebrew construction in order to save time, because this is more of a topical teaching. Are we squared with that?
Yeah.
So I don't need your email saying, well, this psalm was actually written in this construction. Listen, save it. This is the disclaimer right here. We good? All right, but if you want to get in detail with the construction of it and all, Pastor JD's teaches in the Psalms, break it down, and you can see that on his website, also on his YouTube channel. So I would invite you to go do that. All right? Okay, with that said, let's jump right in. Verse 1 of our text as the Word of God reads, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. So here, the psalmist's word at the beginning of the psalm should come as no surprise. Praise. Praise who? The Lord. This is always a most excellent way to start off regarding the things of God. each and every day throughout the day by praising him. And let's keep in mind on what we are talking about as it pertains to this praising of the Lord. It's all in honor of his works of old. From his amazing works without that can be seen by all, to his amazing work of redemption that has been offered to all, as well as all of the works that have been produced throughout history, as well as within our own lives. Praise the Lord. And look at the positive notion that follows the statement, praise the Lord. It's a vow. Basically, a personal promise that I will praise the Lord. Not only in word, but with a whole heart. Do we see this? And that speaks to an actionable kind of praise that shows some kind of outward expression. The idea is that someone who is praising like this is praising in motion. It could be on the same lines of praising by raising your hands, something that shows that you're praising the true and living God. None of this will be ashamed. You're unashamed, undeterred. You're not concerned with anyone around you because that's the praise that's in your heart for the God that you serve. The key is that there's no holding back in this kind of praise. It's being projected in some way. And actually, this should be the only kind of praise that we give to the true living God. Think about it. Because the main point here is not so much about running around and throwing your hands up. No, it's not the posture of our hands. It's the posture of our hearts. Wholehearted. This is wholly praising the Lord with the heart. And this is an area that often gets bad interpretations. And what I mean is, praising the Lord may have its personal touch that each and every one of us as individuals can give. No question about that. But there are some fundamental aspects of praise that we need to be taught, as well as exercise. I'm always surprised when I go back in my Rolodex, early years when I visited churches, I felt so out of place because I see a lot of people doing a lot of things, but I could never understand why. And where is this coming from? Is it just an emotion, or is it something that you know about God, then it triggers? Are you following me? And the explanations were so vague. Just praise him. I understand that, okay? But there's something more to this, isn't there? Absolutely there is. So right out of the gate, like I mentioned, this is where we're going to spend some much needed time regarding wholehearted praise in the hopes that we could take away some valuable lessons. Because we want to challenge our approach to praise the true and living God by the word of God, and not by what we have come to believe based on a bunch of customs or something that the next person is doing that seems okay. And it may be, but I just want to know the why behind the what. Don't you? Another example. How about going through kindergarten in first grade, learning all those nursery rhymes? Remember that? Do you? Ring around the rosies, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Does anybody know what that means? Are we tracking? But every one of us did it without asking the question at all. And we all fall down. I'm just saying, we should treat the word of God more seriously. It's not about ring around the rosies. No, that may be harmless, but here, let's give God our best. When I was preparing for this teaching, I was torn between two different psalms, in fact. They had similar aspects, but carried slightly different messages. So, after talking to the Lord about it, he revealed something to me. Do them both. Now, it seems obvious, right? But when you're so immersed in preparing, I didn't even think about that till like the last second. Like, oh, you know what? Why don't they just put them both in there? What a novel concept with the Word of God. And God is so faithful. And that's exactly what I ended up doing, using both passages. So we're going to start off our praise discussion by looking at that other psalm, in fact, in order to better set the stage and really dig into this before we move on to an aspect of God's past works. And that psalm is found in Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And the word of God reads, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Okay. You'll see in a minute why we're tackling both. And I want to point out in these two verses is what happens following praising the Lord with a whole heart. And the first one that we come across is an action. And we see that with the words, I will tell. I will tell of all your marvelous works. Just like what we're talking about this morning. His marvelous works. Because that's all God's works are in the first place. Marvelous. This is why remembering what he has done will always point us to his goodness. Because God is always good and the only source of all good. Now, people, we may know how to do good, but God is the very nature of good. And a heart that's whole towards him, at some point, will indeed tell. Do you hear me? It has to be expressed because he's too good not to speak about in some way. Think about everything else we talk about. Think about that. How much time do we spend on talking about things that are not good? And here, the true and living God, the very source of good, we don't talk about. We need to change our attitudes. Set tripwires in our minds. Notice, if you start speaking of things that are bad and this and that to open crowds or your circles of influence, that tripwire needs to go off, explode in your mind, and shift all of us to heavenly thoughts. So we can speak about the goodness of God. So again, we have this verbal action or other acts that's conducted based on wholeheartedness. This is one of the signs that our hearts are being properly postured towards the Lord because we're talking about him. And then we can see that we have an emotional response that follows, or that's a byproduct of having a whole heart of praise. And that's important to understand. It's a byproduct of having a whole heart of praise. It cannot be the single source because that's where we get in trouble. Watch our emotions. We see those words, I will be glad and rejoice. Now, as a byproduct, this is the right kind of feeling. This is the right kind of emotion to have. Why? Because it's not directed towards self. It's directed towards the Lord. Do we get it? We are rejoicing in God. Rejoicing in everything that He is about. And that's very critical for us to understand. Because as we go through this teaching, we should come to realize this morning that infusing our emotions within the framework of God's nature makes all of the difference. That's a good thing. Are we tracking, church? That's how we use our emotions. Infuse it with God's nature and give Him the praise for it. That's the way we do it. And in order for that to work, it must be done deliberately by His word. And we're going to see that. Speaking of deliberate, near the end of verse 2, we have the deliberate praising of the name of the true and living God. This is not going through the motions. This speaks to being intimate, meaning that it's familiar, comfortable, and has become natural by knowing God. Do you hear me? Notice what I just said. This is intimate, meaning familiar, comfortable, and completely natural by knowing God. This is a personal choice made known with a public proclamation. And all of it speaks to having a wholehearted praise towards the Lord. And done properly, these can be expressed individually or collectively. But all of it must be done towards the Lord. And that should not be hard to do, especially since we are talking about the past works of God. If we apply this appropriately, it will keep us, no matter what past we are dealing with or whatever past tries to come back and deals with us. This kind of reflection and praise with the whole heart will resolve any kind of past demons with 100% accuracy. Now, doing this is not automatic. It takes deliberate steps based on the Word of God. And even though it may not be the easiest thing to do, it is doable. And we should all be striving to do it no matter what. And we're going to use a tool of sorts that I came across several years ago, and I made it my own. And I want to encourage you to take it and make it your own as well. And it has to deal with the word praise itself. So we're going to use that word as our guide and make an acronym out of it. This is for our learning and application. And remember, you can adjust, take it, make it your own, however it suits you to better your walk. And like we talk about often, we want to use the Word of God as it's intended to be used. It is alive and active. So we need to use it actively, not just read it as some simple coaching method. Because when you do that, it leaves a lot of people, especially myself, I'll just take one for the team, asking questions. Okay, I hear you reading it to me, but what exactly does that look like? Too many times. I mean, maybe I'm on the lower scale. Okay, I'll take it. You know, maybe I was in the bus was maybe two seats shorter or something. I don't know. The bottom line is I need all those things. I need some, give me some examples. Every time you go for a job interview, most of the time, they have that interview sheet, the best way you learn. Have you seen that? Is it by reading? Is it by this? Is it by that? Right? Some people check them all, like me. Give me everything so I can learn. So as much as I'm able, as the Lord leads, I attempt to provide tools as examples, again, for all of us to readjust and refine to help our walk. And right now, we are talking about wholehearted praise. And that will also dive into prayer, learning scripture, meditating, and so many other things under the banner of praise. So, as we use the word praise as our acronym, the first letter is P. And that's going to stand for presenting ourselves to God daily first. How do we initiate wholehearted praise? Step one, present ourselves to God daily first. And our scripture reference, well-known passage captured in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And in that verse, we are told to present ourselves as living sacrifices to God. And one of the ways that we can do this is when we wake up in the morning, the first thing that we need to do is come to the Lord in prayer, and in some way in that prayer, let the Lord know that he can have his way with us. Do you hear me, church? Let's give God permission to do whatever he wants. So there's no resistance, no questions. We need to actively do this each and every day first. This is also, in a way, a part of how the Lord told us to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as in heaven, also in our lives. So we should do this. Next is the R. And that stands for remember what God has done. And there are numerous passages within the scriptures that we can use for this, including the ones that we're going to be going through this morning. But for our example here, I'm using Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12. And since we're going to be looking at an aspect of what God has done specifically, we're going to come back to this and just move right on to the next letter. And that letter is A. And this stands for actively trust what God is doing, even if that means being completely still. And for that reference, also coming from Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Do we see the active part in this? Seeking. And this ties into presenting ourselves to the Lord, again, which is a form of seeking the Lord. And let's not forget that all of this is done in rapid succession, nearly simultaneously. This is how we are to praise the Lord wholeheartedly. Are we tracking so far? And our next letter is I. And that stands for imitate the amazing love of Christ. And the reference that we are using comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. In the Word of God, we are told to be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. This ties back into remembering what God has done, as well as presenting ourselves as sacrifices of the Lord? How more active can we be in the love department than by imitating the love of Christ? Think about that. And let's think about the love of Christ, how it was always demonstrated by him. How? By always being obedient to the Father based on his word. So there's no secrets here. Just having a desire upon the word of God. This is what Christ's example for us is. And we should be doing the same. And when we generate that kind of love, it is naturally directed back to the true and living God. This is the kind of praise that we're talking about. And then we have the letter S, and that stands for savor his presence constantly in praise without interruption. And for that, our reference of scripture is Psalm 16:11. And the word of God tells us that you, God, will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And we have seen this verse recently. And there's a good reason why we're back on it. Because of the amazing impact of this truth. So where is God? Oh, he is Emmanuel. God with us. And we talked about this last week. He is with his people. And we can see this truth captured in the book of Zephaniah. In chapter 3 and verse 17, the word of God reads, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. And listen, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. We're talking about God himself. And I pray that we cannot wait until this is fully fulfilled in that day, because it will impact all of us. But that does not take away from what is currently being fulfilled based on what the Lord has already done for his children. God is with us. He is in our presence. And God the Holy Spirit dwells in the temples of our bodies as believers. And when we engage in those spiritual matters, the Holy Spirit is aroused by all of them. And he makes his presence known in various ways. By confirmation, sometimes conviction, by us having a new understanding regarding an old situation, and so on. This is how it happens. And from there, as we praise, we should come to realize the joy that is in him that begins to and keeps our hearts in an understanding and accepting mode. This allows for each of us to praise wholeheartedly towards the Lord. And our final letter in our acronym is the letter E. And that stands for embrace God's love for his creation. Especially knowing how much he loves his greatest creation. That's us. And our reference for this one comes out of Psalms as well, with this well-known passage captured in chapter 8, verses 3 through 5. And in verse 4, the word of God reads, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? What makes God do this? Answer, love. When we recognize that we are but dust, but still our God looks to our care in every way despite this fractured and fallen world, embracing his love should nearly be automatic. In other words, we should not have a spirit of not being loved because we are loved by God. And this is something that we should keep personal. People, like the Word of God speaks to, in fact, we know that the Word of God says that if your father and mother forsake you, I will not forsake you. So everyone can leave, but God's still there. God's love is what we need to rely on and depend on. Man can always let us down and will. God won't. And knowing that's the case, our praise should indeed be wholehearted. All of this is what we need to be thinking on and acting upon as we are preparing to praise the Lord. So we can praise the Lord with hearts that are postured fully towards him, no matter what. And so I say that because I don't know how we approach church, how we approach coming. Do we just walk through the doors, or are we actually thinking, I'm about to praise you, Lord? And get ourselves ready to praise him. And I know that took some time to get through, but I pray that it helps and that we have a better idea on how we should approach praise without wasting our time in giving the Lord praise scraps of garbage, either because of pride or because of us being or choosing to be ignorant. Let's praise him wholeheartedly. Now, as we make the long trek back to our original text, there's one other detail that I want us to consider when it comes to praise. And that's how wholehearted praise is not just a private affair. We are to do this with our closest of saints, as well as the church body as a whole. This is what's meant in this verse when the psalmist speaks about praising the Lord with the upright and with the congregation. Do we see this? The closest ones to you and the congregation in general. Not saying that they're not upright, but you know. You get what I'm saying? So it's speaking collectively. This is what we are to do. And this is one of the benefits of coming together from time to time and not forsaking the assembly of the saints. But even so, this alone is not the capstone of our wholehearted praise either, because we are to praise the Lord continually. And on many occasions, that will be done in private or with our families. So the point for us to recognize is that all of it is included. And we need to keep that in mind so we are not relying on one side of the praise spectrum, so to speak, as it pertains to when and where or who with. Now, that's the how-to behind having a wholehearted praise as we seek the Lord and give it to him. And this attitude of praise is what we will be carrying into our next verses. So remember what we discussed as we talk about his past works. And we're going to read verses 2-4 together, and then we'll touch on them and make a few points. All right, the Word of God reads, "The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. So here I first want to summarize for us what's being shown. In these verses, the psalmist, he does a few things. First, he gives motivation for praising what the Lord has done by proclaiming that God's works are great. We saw it before, marvelous, and indeed they are. The psalmist also provides pointed direction for the people of God to use in order to praise the Lord for what he has done. And that's by studying what he has done, looking into it, and remembering all of those works. And finally, we can see that the psalmist attaches many praiseworthy characteristics of the living God based on what he has done. In other words, God's perfect past works will express all of his goodness by those who desire to study them. Are we tracking? And again, the posture for approaching these past works of the Lord begins with wholehearted praise so that we can maximize our time in the presence of the Lord and then watch in real time his amazing works of old continue today. Do we see this, church? And we need to consider that during that time in history, the nation of Israel was living in uncertain times as well. People then were like people today, you and I. They all had to deal with the daily struggles of life, as well as have to deal with the past struggles on a personal level, as well as on a national level. They all had to deal with past problems that many of them had nothing directly to do with, as well as those that they created for themselves. Many of them were born into situations that were less favorable, and some were even born into slavery because of past circumstances. But they all were told to look back at the works of God, because this is what makes the difference. Why? Because it provides for each of us the hope in God. That's why. It gives all of us hope. If we're looking at the past situation for hope in our lives, something that happened, we're looking for that. Look at God's works. Captured in the book of Romans in chapter 15 and verse 13, the word of God reads, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." God gives us hope, because absent God, there is no hope. We all live in a fallen world, and we can all often feel hopeless. And it's by knowing what God has done in the past that should always provide for all of us a renewed hope as we trust in what he has already done, knowing that he will fulfill what's to come. And this is why we need to study his perfect past in order for us not to become trapped today in our past failures that often continues to cause us present pain as well as stunt our growth as Christians. And we need to realize that our past may be full of all kinds of mistakes, but again, God's past is perfect. And it's through His works and word that perfection will encourage us to carry on today. But we have to be willing to study them. Do you hear me, church? We can't just say, yeah, I remember a couple of them, and think that that's going to be with us for our entire lives. It doesn't work that way. The Word of God is alive and active, and we need to actively pursue it. And if we do, knowing that His works are all good, which they are, we can go into this with the proper praise. And then once we have spent time looking at His works, we will see that our praising of the Lord, as we are coming out of that time that we spent reflecting and remembering, will be more enhanced. Why? Because our faith has now been increased by overly recognizing His faithfulness. This is a byproduct of praising God's past works in this way, which should also motivate each and every one of us to do it more often. Are we seeing this, church? Now, the works of God that's being expressed here are often tied to His creation at large, as well as the many glorious works and wonders that were seen as it pertained to the nation of Israel. And as a church, we can glean from all of these, as well as look into the amazing accounts and wonders that the Lord Jesus Christ had done directly. We also have the benefit of looking at the amazing works that we see carried out by the early church, and God the Holy Spirit so active. And each time that we're in the Word, I do believe that elements of remembering God's works come into play. But there's something more common about God's works of old when it comes to His creation. And that's because it's the one area that all of mankind since the beginning of the world has had the ability to remember as it pertains to the things of God. And everything that we see stated within these verses can always be looked at in a unique way by going all the way back to the beginning of creation by looking at the life of Adam. And this is where we're going to take the liberty as we close out our teaching this morning and use Adam as an example of how and why each and every one of us must choose like Adam did, because he had to choose to praise and remember the past works of God, knowing that they are honorable and glorious, and that His forever righteous works towards us will never end because He's full of compassion and grace. All of this is continuous, and we need to recognize it. No matter how bad our past is, His past is perfect, and our failures will never dominate that reality. Are we ready? Okay. Want to talk about a shattered past? There is no greater fall in human history than the fall of Adam. Period. And what I hope that we will see in this is how Adam, Eve as well, chose to remember the past works of God despite such a devastating fall. And the first thing that I want for us to consider is what they would lose. A small part of this is going to come from the Talmud, but you'll get it because I believe it makes sense. And I want to use it to paint this picture. And the first thing that they would lose is the glory of God's image on their face on them. Have we thought about that? They would no longer be in the presence of the Lord in that way ever again. And what I'm talking about is this shining of their faces, reflecting the very image of the glory of God. This is similar to what Moses would experience when he came down from Mount Sinai. We're told in the book of Exodus in chapter 34 and verses 29 and 30 that when he came down, he did not recognize that his skin on his face shone. But when he approached the children of Israel, they were afraid of him because he was shining so bright. And that was because of him being in the presence of the Lord. So the thought when it comes to Adam and Eve is that this right here was lost at the great fall of Adam. We also know that once Adam sinned against God, that they would lose their eternal spirit and begin to physically die. And now they are vulnerable in every respect. And with that comes all the complications that's associated with doubt, which includes fear, anxiety, and so on. Their entire emotional makeup was altered. Things that they never felt before suddenly rushed in. They would also lose their innocence. And from this, it is believed that before the fall, they were both clothed in the righteousness of the light of the Lord, naked and unafraid with this majestic radiance on their bodies. This also kind of speaks to how we might be to some degree when we're resurrected. But this was lost at the fall of Adam. Are we seeing this? They also lost all of their positional authority, as well as their most prized property. We talked about this before. They were to have dominion, but they handed it over to Satan. And they were evicted from Eden. Sent away, unable to take anything from the garden. Nothing to remember that's tangible, only to remember everything that they saw was gone for good. And they would also lose out on the abundance of resources. All of creation would suffer and produce less and less. Not to mention the addition of sickness, disease, and death, and other factors of evil that they would come to eventually see. And finally, they would lose the ability to work comfortably. From this point on, they would deal with all the hardships of life on many levels, including the hardship associated with work. All of this happened at once, all because of the fall of Adam. So again, do we see the picture that's being painted here? How does someone like Adam get past all of this past loss due to a personal failure? Couldn't blame anybody else. Tried to, didn't work. Right? So how? And the answer is to choose to trust in what the Lord has said in the past by remembering what he has already done while praising him for what he will do, all based on his righteous works of old. That's how. God did not leave Adam and Eve stranded. As soon as this happened after the inquiry, he set into motion the eternal plan of redemption because of his compassion. He clothed them to cover their shame because of his righteousness. And he still spoke with them in regards to his future dealings with mankind because of his grace. Do we think about that? And Adam would show that based on the creator that he knows and knew, that no matter how bad things were since the fall, his fall, God's amazing works would shine through. So instead of dwelling on his failures, he would heed the word of the Lord and know his wife. Think about that. Being fruitful and multiplying. No doubt relying on that redemptive work that the Lord has spoken about. Are you hearing me, church? Think about this. Really put yourselves, we need to put ourselves in this position. That catastrophic loss, yet can move forward and know his wife. Why do I say that? I say that to couples, married couples. Your husband says one thing out of place. He ain't gonna know you, is he? Right? Are you feeling me? Right? One emotional thing happens, I'm just nip. Not happening. They believed so much based on the word propelled them forward. That's the picture that's trying to be painted here to some degree. Are you following me, church? And this needs to be on our minds. No matter what failures have happened, or if we're in situations due to the fallen world and trapped under many sad conditions, such as poverty, physical restrictions, or any other limiting factor beyond one's control. What God has done in the past, what he has done in the past, will always and should always matter most. And we need to live out our present reality, remembering those glorious works. And we will use verse 5 of our text to close us out. As the word of God reads, he has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Now here the psalmist is reminding the children of Israel of how the Lord consistently provided for them when they walked in fear and reverence of God. Not only that, he will never forget his covenant, which is something else that they could look back on. And guess what? So can we. We can too. And with us coming off the heels of talking about Adam, we should be able to see from the past, the Lord has provided for them even though those hardships of life still remained. And we need to praise God and remember that. And this goes to show that revering the Lord and heeding his word will give us favor with God. And we need to praise God and remember that. And God has a covenant of grace for all of us that has been in place since Abraham, by the way. And we need to praise God and remember that. And my prayer is that we can use something that was spoken here today regarding looking at the things that God has done in order to better praise him so our faith can be enhanced while at the same time becoming more reliant on his works and less caught up on our failures. And there are many examples in the scriptures for us to glean from. And it's up to each and every one of us as individuals to study them out. And I hope that overall, our walk would be strengthened as our relationship with the Lord grows more intimate. And with us living in a world that's so broken, this should be exactly where we want to be at. We need to praise the Lord for such an amazing opportunity that we have today to remember all his things of old. The reality of his everlasting love should always be on our minds. Why don't we stand and pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word of truth. We thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for your works of old. We ask that you would just give us a burning desire in our hearts afresh and new as the new year comes upon us, so that we can seek you out, study your word, and live according to it, that we may be blessed abundantly and our minds change, keeping our eyes towards you and knowing that you would give us that perfect peace. You are our only hope, our sure hope, and we look forward to the blessed hope. And we thank you again for all that you've done and continue to do in and through our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen.